chapter 49. An hour before dawn, the occupants of the small farmhouse were up and about. Columbine checked the abbess's satchel.
Comfrey, elm bark, motherwort, verbena, rose hips. I can't think of anything we've missed out. Can you, abbess?
The old mouse stood facing the western woodlands.
No, child. I've got everything I need. Now stop upsetting yourself and prepare breakfast for the little ones.
Chib perched on the farmhouse windowsill, listening to Gingivere and Sandingon.
We must not let the little ones know,
Gingivere was saying.
Let them play. Soon enough they'll grow up and have to face life's problems.
You're right, Gingivere. Spike, Posy, would you set the bowls and spoons out, please?
But Lady Sandingon, you said it was Ferdy and Cog's turn today. We did it at supper last night.
You're right. It's not fair. Hey, you two, come on. Your turn for setting the breakfast things out.
Ferdy and Cogs came running from the woodland edge.
Hooray! It's Miss Bella. Look out or she'll knock us all over.
Bella came pounding out of the woods, lathered in foam and breathing heavily. Ferdy ran alongside of her.
Miss Bella, have you been running all night? Have we won the war?
Come away, little one. No time for games now.
Gingivere led Bella to the farmhouse, but she collapsed near the front doorstep, panting. Sandingham dashed indoors.
I'll get something to dry you down, and you can have breakfast.
Bella shook her head as she caught her breath.
No time, friend. Some water to drink, then I'll be on my way. Abbess, are you ready?
Jermaine patted Bella's heaving flank.
Oh, I'm ready, but you're not, Bella. You need rest. You'd never make it back like that, so lie still a while.
Still panting with exertion, the badger took a sparing drink of water and lay upon her side.
Right. It won't take me long, Gingivere. Get some stout cords and be ready to bind the abbess on my back. We don't want her being swept off in the woods.
Chib decided to forgo breakfast.
I'll fly back and tell them you're on the way.
Sandingham turned to Columbine.
We'd best leave breakfast. Pack some food to eat on the way. I'll close up the farmhouse and we'll go back together.
Posy tugged Gingivere's tail.
Well, did you hear that, Uncle? We're going for a trip and taking a picnic with us.
Of course we are, Posy.
Gingivere smiled distractedly. A short while later, the abbess sat upon Bella's back, securely roped together with a satchel of herbs. Bella took a deep breath.
Good. I've stopped blowing like an old frog now. My legs are feeling steady. Hold tight, Jermaine. Here we go.
Goody Stickle tried hard not to let her concern show. She had done all she could, even following her instincts and allowing the delirious warrior to clutch his sword as he lay raving. Timberlisto stood by her, gnawing worriedly at his claws.
He's still trying to get past those gates into Dark Forest. Goody, what can we do?
Wiping her paws on her old flowery apron, the hedgehog tried to look busy.
Well, for a start, you can stop hanging about and bothering me, Mr. Timberlisto. You go and gather some firewood with my Ben.
She softened at the helpless look on Timberlisto's face.
My dear, you can't do anything for your friend, nor can I, really, until proper help arrives. You go and help Argon find lookout. Go on, I'll call you if he wakes.
When he had gone, Goody wrung out more clots to place on Martin's brow. He was feverish, shivering, sweating by turns, and constantly murmuring.
Bring your heads round,
he muttered.
Sail for the shore. I'll rescue Paul from those sea rats. Give me my sword. Watch out for those seabirds and the crabs, Gonth. Leave the rest to me, matey.
Mid-morning brought a shout from Gonth.
It's Bella. She's got the abbess with her. Hey, Bella, over here.
The badger came thundering across the lake shore. Stopping in a shower of earth, she parted the ropes with a slash of her big claws and a few snapping bites. The abbess tumbled from the badger's back, pausing only to grab a satchel. She ran to Martin's side.
You did well, Goody Stickle. Go and rest now,
she said comfortingly, but Bella was shocked by Martin's appearance.
Abbess, he looks dreadful. Do you think he'll live?
She asked, looking over Jermaine's shoulder. Jermaine was already ministering to Martin.
Gomf, put some water to boil on the fire. Bella, open my satchel and give me some feverfew. Yes, that one there. Now a touch of nightshade, not too much. Ben, can you gather some fresh dock leaves for me?
As she tended the warrior mouse, the abbess answered Bella.
Do not worry, old friend. This mouse will live if I have anything to do with it. though it will take all my skills and a long, long time before he is completely out of danger. Columbine will be here soon. You go and rest. The race that you ran to St. Martin's life would have killed a lesser creature. You must get some sleep.
The three female hares were not fond of the idea that prisoners should be fed and cared for. Prodding the defeated troops of Kattir with their pikes, they drove them 10 at a time to the lake. Harebell, Honeydew and Willow thoroughly approved of cleanliness.
Come on, Slimeface, get in there. You won't drown.
Use plenty of sand and scrub hard, you mucky lot.
You there, Fox, wash behind those grubby ears.
The fox turned away, muttering insolently.
Why should I?
Trubs and Co. were practising with slings. Fring bounced a sharp pebble off the fox's bottom, causing him to jump.
Because you won't get any tuck if you don't, you filthy rogue.
Here, here. Now get those ears washed. Both of them, laddie.
Then you can wiggle them in the sun until they dry, what?
Skipper inspected the rat.
Show me those paws. Turn them over. Right, go and get fed. Wait, where do you think you're sailing off to, scruff bag? Get back in and scrub those whiskers, or I'll come and do it for you with a cup of spruce bark.
He leaned on his pike, discussing the prisoners with Dinny and the hares.
This miserable lot will eat us out of crop and woodland the way they're scuffing.
He objected.
Brr, they ain't gotten a dozen stomachs apiece, nasty vermin.
Logalog pushed a half-washed weasel back in with his stave.
Not to worry. I heard Bella mention to Lady Amber that we're marching them out of Mossflower tomorrow.
Sooner the better, says I.
Any news of Martin yet?
Bella said he's still the same, no change. Though the Abbess has decided to have him moved down here after this lot have been banished.
I still find it hard to believe that he slew the big cat. That must have been a battle and a half, matey.
He'm a warrior, our Martin. Though the battle be for the life of him now.
It was noon of the following day. The sun beat down on the dusty path that separated Mossflower Woods from the flatlands rolling away to the west. On the far side of the ditch stood the defeated army of Kattir, each one carrying 2 days' supply of food and water. On the woodland side of that same ditch stood the hordes of Mossflower, shrews, mice, squirrels, hares, otters, hedgehogs and moles, together with Gingerveer, Sandingham and Bella. The badger stood tall. Pointing to the horizon, she addressed the three prisoners.
You must go now. Travel together or split into groups as you will. If any of you are thinking of finding more weapons and coming back here, I would strongly advise you to listen to what these creatures have to say.
The six hares stood forward, brandishing their long pikes.
Hello, you rascals. We are the Border Patrol now, you know.
Yes, 1st Regiment Fur and Foot Fighters at your service.
Woodlands are splendid, but the old flat country, this is the place to be, what?
So, you've got until sunset to vanish into the distance, savvy?
Actually, if we can still sight you then, there's going to be another jolly old battle.
Rather, we hares and these woodland chappies will be only too happy to pursue you.
There was silence from the other side of the ditch. Some of the Kattir troops began shuffling nervously, unsure of what to do.
Count of 10 to be on your way!
Skipper's gruff call rang out.
Them that stays here gets buried here. Right, mateys? All together!
Every woodland voice was raised in deadly unison.
1, 2, 3!
The leaderless foxes, weasels, stoats, ferrets and rats ran. They ran as they had never run before, stumbling and pushing to get out in front. Not a word was spoken amongst them. All that could be heard was the harsh panting of breath as they sped away into the far sunlit distance, each one feverishly hoping that, regardless of the others, he would be out of sight by sunset, away from Mossflower and its grim horde of dangerous woodlanders. Halfway through the long afternoon, Lady Amber and Skipper approached Bella.
Couldn't we just go after them one last time, Bella?
Skipper pleaded. The badger shook her head at the Corrim leaders.
No, friends. We've won. Mossflower is ours again.
Let's go home.
Formal's words in his rough mole speech sounded like the sweetest music ever heard.